NamNab is a podcast that deals with the grisly details of a variety of topics, including true crime cases, government cover-ups, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This content is not suitable for everyone. Viewer discretion is advised.
She was murdered.
Summer dudes,
welcome back.
This is Not a Monster, Not a Boogeyman.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Janae.
And I'm Les. And today we are covering some very special episodes with a very special guest. Naya will be joining us today on the Johnny Gosch case, Woo! Which will be probably a 2-3 parter. So just a heads up, this is just the beginning.
Welcome to our mini-series.
Yeah. Yeah,
basically. Yeah, if anyone knows about this, you know exactly what we're talking about. So yeah, Johnny Gosch, let's get to going.
Content warnings. A lot of them. Hold on, let me think about it.
Let me think.
Well, a lot of child sexual assault and abuse and trafficking. Kidnapping.
This whole case gave me nightmares.
OMG.
All of it.
And I guess, yeah, that's predominantly it. Yeah, don't look at certain photos online. It could be very triggering. Also just very disturbing in general, because this is just one small corner of the giant community. Definitely take some breaks. This was really hard research for all of us to do.
We've been working on this for a very long time,
forever, and I'm disgusted to hear everyone's accounts and like just anyway. Any other questions or some comments before?
Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. So just some stuff before we start. Our story takes place for now in Des Moines, Iowa, but we'll be covering a lot of different spots across the states. And then this is mostly from some research that we've seen on some films and documentaries. We'll list some of those in our website. And then like a lot of interviews with Noreen Gosch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. So pretty credible sources for my take. All right.
And this was at the recommendation of our guest. So I just like want to bring up that Naye brought up this idea. So
yeah, thanks for bringing it to us.
Hello. it's one of my favorites, but it's one of...
It really is one of her favorites. She knows so much.
Like a little encyclopedia about it.
Well, it's important to you.
It is. And she, Noreen is just like such a powerhouse. She's like such a great woman. And, you know, I haven't even read her book, but like I know it's just like when you buy it, it's just, it funds her organization, all of that. It's like great cause. She's really been like, if you know of someone who is going through this or has, or you have gone through this, right? Like her steps, the way she took in charge of her child being abducted is just like the way to do it, right? Yeah.
An inspiration. Right. Literally a life changer and law changer and policy changer and all kinds of shit. Very important person who literally does not get any respect from people who need to pay attention. Yeah, everyone, basically. And a lot of times when we're talking about this, a lot of times when we try to like talk to people, because our research will come up in conversation so often, it's just like, yeah. Anyway, people just try to not listen about it and like, no, that doesn't happen, or I don't want to hear about that. And it's like, if you only knew that it's happening like right in front of your eyes, like you don't have to look very far. Thank you. It's a terrible thing that's happening around us. And honestly, it doesn't look like, again, the name of our show, so brilliant. It doesn't look like you think it does. It can be children. It is in this case. That's another trigger warning too. Unfortunately, these children are manipulated into doing terrible, atrocious things. And the law is definitely not on their side in that case.
Fun fact, right? It's like 20% of the human trafficking in the U.S. are children.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
It's big.
20%.
27%, yeah. And it's not all for sex work, that's true. Mm-hmm. But it's still sex trafficking.
Wow. I think, human too, we need to be very clear about the place we come from on this situation. If you're thinking, oh, these people are going to go into some QAnon bullshit, that is absolutely not going to happen.
All right, we're coming from a really just like...
I just think it's important we make the distinction given what's going on in the media.
Yeah.
I just want to inform people of this case because it's literally just so important in our history as a society, and what it's highlighting is happening in our society, which is the fucking disease of pedophilia, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's disgusting. Sorry. We have to talk about it. It's uncomfortable to talk about out loud right now.
Yep.
Yeah, and there is like a feeling of fear when you talk about it too because of just like... what happens to people that talk about this.
Yeah.
Understandably.
So.
People have died.
Yeah.
So anyway, Des Moines, Iowa, it's now 39 years ago. How crazy is that? This happened in 1982. Yeah, so Noreen Gosh is probably going to be one of our predominant connections to the case because she is so insightful on it, but also, of course, is Johnny's mother. If you don't know, Johnny, just quick overview, was kidnapped. Took a long time to reach that verdict, but anyway, that's our understanding of him now. Well, according to most sources, he's just missing, or presumably dead, right? anyway, so Noreen Gosh she had a previous marriage. Just a little bit about her, because she's an interesting person.
So So she was born on August 27, 1943. She's a Virgo. She's was raised in Iowa. I know these are like the important things because like
she's a Taurus. The way she presents,
but the way Earth she took similar. Down her Earth documentation sexy. Though from the beginning, it's just like whoa, she just knew right on.
She's such a smart person. Yeah, she recorded everything, which is really valuable witness testimony.
Very early on.
Word to the wise, do the same in your own cases if you have that. Yeah.
And she was married. She did have a first marriage. She had two children. And wow, like this is crazy. But she, her husband was diagnosed with cancer.
Her first husband,
First husband. Mm-hmm. And then they get hit by a fucking tornado. So, shit.
And I think, from my understanding, they weren't doing financially well off anyway in the first place, and it just destroyed their whole house, right?
Right. It was just all of it was destroyed, and she, you know, she had to like find her children underneath like her house.
Like in the rubble, essentially.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It started raining, right? And she says this, I think it's the movie where it starts raining and the children start crying, right? And she's like, the sound of them crying was such a relief because at least they're alive.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately, right, her husband passes away shortly after, right? So she just starts from the bottom up.
Little to nothing.
The bottom up. So
as a single mom with two kids as well. And yeah, so she meets Johnny's dad, John Gosh, senior. And they're about a larger family. I think there's like, what, four kids that they have in the house, not together. They've only had two kids together.
So it's just Noreen, and then they just have Johnny. They only have Johnny.
How many kids are there total? Three?
So three.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so middle class, you know. Kids were super involved in everything, very popular, you know, nice kids, seemingly normal family. Before this happened, so many weeks in a row at around like 1:35 specifically a.m. in the morning, Noreen would get a phone call to the house. Like a ghost caller, pretty much, and every night.
I hate
night.
That. Mm. That's a stalker.
Yeah, and this is weeks before the incident.
Stalker.
Yeah. Or you
I
would
didn't
think,
know that.
No. Take note. You would think. But the husband, John, would answer the phone and always just say that it was the wrong number. But Noreen just remembers like half being asleep and just being like questioning, like, why would you communicate with a wrong number? Like you were on the phone for a little bit longer than it would take to be like, oh, you have the wrong number, bye.
Sure.
You know what I mean? She's not stupid. She's like taking account to all of this stuff. very perceptive lady. Mm-hmm. So I think the weekend that Johnny was kidnapped was Labor Day weekend, essentially. So in 1982. So we're talking, what, September? I don't know the exact date. Do you?
First week, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so the calls were like early August of 1982. And then September 3rd, 1982, right, is the Last Supper.
Yes.
It's the game night, right?
So that's exactly like the, that's where like we're
we begin, right? Or like yes. where it starts.
Yeah.
Even though those calls did happen before, like in August, right? It mm-hmm. all starts in September. Starts taking, it's like a snowball.
Yes, effect. Literally. So that day, Friday night, before Johnny was kidnapped, the family attended a high school football game. Their oldest son was playing in. And Johnny was with his family and was just like, can I go get some popcorn? And goes to the concession stand. Noreen mentions that it's like within her eyesight. So mm-hmm. that's the only reason why she let him go alone mm-hmm. For that second. But then she kind of starts to realize that he's taking a little longer than she felt comfortable with. So she sent her husband. Because she just couldn't see him anymore. Mm-hmm. So Johnny was under the bleachers. Yeah.
What?
Talking to a police officer. A West Des Moines police officer.
Whoa.
He was 12 years old at the time. Under
the bleachers.
Yeah, under the bleachers. And then Johnny's dad was just like, what are you doing? Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then basically, you know, without walking up to the cop or talking to the cop, he just called Johnny away from him. And they went back. As the game ended and, you know, they were leaving the stadium, the cop was standing over the railing looking at Johnny. And then Johnny just said to his mom, I imagine like the cop waved or something. And Noreen was just like, okay, you know, like not the best vibes. Honestly, she's not stupid. You're a stranger still. I don't care if you're a cop. Don't talk to my kid under the bleachers, you fucking weirdo. Right. Anyway. so the cop's like kind of looking at them under and like, you know, and Johnny's just like, that's the guy I was talking to under the bleachers. When I grow up, I want to be a cop someday. Yeah. Yeah. Noreen's memory is like a pin. She's got all this memorized and had to like, I just imagine her having to be like a broken record all the time.
Yeah, it probably goes on over and over in her head.
She just, right. And it's, she doesn't even get tired of it is the beautiful thing is mm-hmm. she just knows how important it is and she's devoted to it. But yeah. So the Last Supper, what we were mentioning.
Yes. Sorry, that's September 4th. I got a little ahead. Yeah.
So September 3rd was the game. And the then game, September 4th is the Last Supper. Mm-hmm. Thank you keeping us on our dates because I don't have any of that in here. anyway, so that was Johnny's last meal with his family.
Mm-hmm.
Full family.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Right, his sister came over from college with her fiance.
Everything was great.
Just having good fucking food, man. And they were going to go on their boat the next day.
Yeah, because it was Labor Day.
Right, and Labor Day weekend, Johnny could invite one of his friends, which was also like, another paper boy.
He was fucking pumped. Right. Dude. He was pumped. And he, interestingly enough, asked if he can go alone on his paper route. So he delivered paper the next day. He made a point to go to bed super early because he knew how important it was to be on time and was super excited. He was that kind of kid. Most of my information is specifically from an interview with Noreen and... Oh, God. I forget. Conspiracy 911 interview.
Okay,
oh,
so nice. That's the, right. So that's the radio recording. And then that Amazon Doku.
Yeah, Doku. Yeah.
It's also pretty good. It's so good. You know what? And this is what I hate
Why
about
Why can't Johnny come Amazon home?
Prime.
That one is also
really good. I've rented it like 3 times, but it's been like to rent or free. To rent. Or free.
You just keep noticing that we're like watching it too much and they're like, right. We took it off from being free now. You'll learn very quickly that this is not what it seems. No. Yes.
So was this like his first day on the job? Or no. You said he went alone. Oh. So did someone usually follow him?
He asked if he could go alone. And mm-hmm. yes, constantly Noreen would never, ever let. So Johnny's only 12. Like she is right. never. He's going. He's a paper boy. No, he's been saving up for a while. He's well skilled. He's been working as a paper boy for like a year.
He was like, and you know, and they dad. Mentioned like quite a business mm-hmm. guy, you know, yeah, bought a.
His dad would walk with him.
Yeah, his dad would walk or Noreen would walk. And he took his dog.
He was saving up for he was saving up for a motorcycle, yep. right? Or a little
and he knew that And it was the same route that his older brother had.
Yeah, so his older brother had it too. And so Noreen just like kind of from her experience with his older brother just made sure that there were like rules in place, right? She was really careful with Johnny is the thing.
It was like 27, 28 houses, papers, right? It wasn't like...
Yeah, it wasn't crazy. It was like, what, three blocks?
Like a neighborhood.
There were a ton of paper boys. Right? There were like a ton of paper boys to cover the rest of the neighborhood.
Right, my dad was a paper boy.
Like it was, oh, that's really cute.
Yeah, that's cute.
Except this is giving me nightmares now about paper boys. And I honestly understand when parents like hate hearing about these kinds of stories. Because they just like think about it. Yeah, this is why it stopped. Yeah. This case made societal waves.
In America, in America. Yes.
In America. Yeah. Because of Noreen. Literally, that's pretty much the only reason why.
Yeah.
But yeah. So Johnny asked. His dad was okay with the idea for some reason, and his mom was not. She was just like, he's too young.
Yep.
I do not want him to go. It's going to be like 5 a.m. And no, absolutely not. And so that was her fucking word. And so... his dad was like, all right, well, just wake me up in the morning and I'll go with you. He doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was the last night Johnny was ever seen by his mom.
Do you guys talk about him going into his mom's room that night before and what he said to her?
So before Johnny, you know, before they go to bed and stuff, Johnny comes up. He's a very affectionate young kid. The way he's described is like literally just a little joy ball of light in the room. Like you can't miss him. He's very generous, very kind. And so he just was his mom's favorite, basically. And he goes into her room that night. Strangely enough, she did find it a little strange because he felt like almost, I guess, uneasy like when he said goodnight, like, I love you. She felt like he knew something was going to happen. Noreen does not think it was anything out of the ordinary, at least that night.
Right. Yeah, so we're in Sunday morning, 1:30 a.m.
Yeah, 1:30 a.m. Sunday morning, another phone call. The same phone call that keeps coming in for the past couple weeks. And Noreen remembers her husband saying, yeah, okay, all right.
Always answers, but he said, yeah, okay, all right.
So that call comes in. Yeah, okay, all right.
Every time you say it, it's so ominous and I hate it.
The next morning, Noreen receives a call from a neighbor, letting them know that they hadn't received their paper just after 7 a.m.
So one of the things about Johnny, you know, and as Lex mentioned, he was doing this for a year, and they get fined if they're late on a paper. So Noreen was just like, wow, that's really strange. Johnny didn't wake up John Sr., his dad. And he's late. He was never
late.
Delivering papers.
Right. So, you know, Johnny's dad is just like, you know, just get breakfast going. I'm going to go help him out. He gets dressed. And he sees Johnny's wagon with their dog and the papers untouched.
Yeah. The papers were still, like, you know, paper boys have to, like, unclip the fucking... Right. tie that was still intact.
He goes it's routine to get the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, gets the paper with the other newspaper boys. They have this
like a group that go together
right,
or something.
Right,
cuz
there's a corner, yeah. Where the newspaper company drops off all the newspapers. There's this corner. All the boys are there, right?
Yeah.
And there's like boys coming in from the west side from the you know.
Okay.
All come there to get their paper. Papers.
Okay. And then start on their route.
Okay. Sorry.
They all kind of meet up and then go.
No, this is important.
No. Yeah. No, that makes total sense because, no, Johnny's alone most of the time.
Right.
They're all alone, but there is one adult.
So what it means to us when the papers are uncut, Johnny's nowhere to be found, wagon, dog, there, he at least touched base to get his papers, right?
Okay.
And
okay.
saw those boys.
Yeah.
And
so he's now on route.
Okay.
He was on that route, but did not deliver or did not even get to
open
his
them.
first house.
Yes.
Okay.
So right. now.
Thank you. Sorry. Like, don't understand this. So
it's so quick. Literally, from the first house to the corner, it's like, what, 5 minutes, 5-7 minutes?
Yeah.
And quick in those minutes, there's just like, what is going on, right? So John Sr. is out. He sees this. He's just like, what the fuck, but decides to just remove the newspapers because right now Noreen's home and like the phone's normal. Going off.
Yeah, the police, the neighbors are going crazy. Like, this is like if someone was like, you can't get onto Facebook until 12 a.m. Or 12 p.m. for me. So they're calling her and being like, where the fuck is my newspaper? So John
Lady
is like, what the fuck? Takes a second, is like, what the fuck? Distributes the papers.
Delivers them, but then comes back. And is like, fuck, Noreen, some panting, shit's going on. Like, call 911.
Johnny's missing.
Johnny is missing.
Okay.
They call the police.
Fucking, yeah, Noreen calls 911, which is 10 blocks from their house. But it takes cops 45 minutes to arrive at their house. And the next Sunday was Johnny's 13th birthday. Yes. 13th birthday.
Mm-hmm. So
happening all quick. We're still in the morning though. We're still on Sunday morning. Noreen is just like, all right, I'm gonna go fucking talk to every fucking newspaper boy, whoever was there, right? She takes the names of all the boys
on the block
that were going to pick up the newspaper. Talks to every single one of them. Gets like, you know, basically a fucking statement. Their fucking statement, and there is one man.
She called every one of them except for the 44-year-old attorney on the block who saw this taking place as well. So once the police get there, Noreen tells them what the boy saw, right? The boys are telling her that Johnny was walking up with them to get his papers, and there was this blue Mercury Zephyr-looking car.
Mm-hmm. This man in this car makes a U-turn in the street and pulls over and starts asking the kids and asks Johnny for directions to 86th Street. So he's asking like, hey man, like, where do I go? And Johnny's just like, what? Like,
he looks and he's like, notices that the cross streets are, what is it? 64th and Ashford or something like that.
Right, so it's just like 20 blocks away from where they're at.
So it's like, what do you mean you need directions? Like, just go that direction.
Right, because they're on 42nd, and he's looking for 86. So it's like 20 blocks essentially. So it's just like, whoa, you're asking for directions and something that's utterly, like, really out of your brain. Like, homie, you are out. Where are you? And he asking children? It's like 5 a.m., right? 5 a.m., 5, like 6 a.m., because they pick up the fucking paper early.
Right.
Yeah. So, it and Johnny's really just strange. Like, has a bad
just
feeling.
He's a fucking creeper.
Yeah, he is. And Johnny gets a really bad vibe from him.
Right. He's just like, this guy's weird.
And so the 44-year-old attorney kind of peers out at them, is watching this, because
he has a son who's also a paper boy.
Okay.
And he's there picking up the newspaper with his child.
And I think the man sees him being seen and flips his dome light on his car three times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then speeds away.
So as that car, you know, pulls away, another man comes out between two houses as Johnny is like walking on foot. So he's walking down the sidewalk.
I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Right.
And he's just like, all right, man, peace. I got shit to deliver. Walking. And this guy, there's this rando out of two houses.
Johnny doesn't see him. Right. Yeah, Johnny's like on his route walking. He's and the guy comes out. And
from behind.
Right. Out of the bushes of this house. Yes. And one witness is reported.
Sorry.
So that guy comes out between two houses on foot and follows Johnny about 5 feet away.
Yeah, so this guy is just like really close up to Johnny, and there is a 16-year-old boy who sees this, right? The 16-year-old boy is like seeing this, like, whoa, okay. Walking a super close to Johnny, and when Johnny takes a left, this guy also takes a left. And then the next thing this boy hears is hearing the dog is growling. Yeah, because he has his pup.
Someone's doing something, right?
Yeah.
Approaching him and growling. And then the car door slams.
car door slams, the freaking tires screech.
At that point, they had disappeared out of that 16-year-old boy's point of view.
Right, because they turned left. But this is what this boy can hear. This is what he's hearing. He's not really realizing what is going on, right? But that's what's going on.
That 16-year-old boy is also, I think, was also a paper boy.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Kid in the neighborhood, too.
Yeah. Right. Okay. No, so his name is Mike. It was here. It's
Mike
here.
Beats himself up for not doing something, and it sucks because it's obvious to him that... So Noreen calls, right? Yeah. And he feels guilty because he thinks that something's happened to Johnny, essentially. And so when fucking police get there to Noreen's, this is like the first thing she tells
them. Okay, right, right. Because like this boy, Mike, the 16-year-old boy, seeing all of this, he's like... watching Johnny, right, walking, they take a left, so he hears this, and then the 34-year-old sees the car, right?
Okay.
He sees a car, and the boy hears, you know, this car, like, door slamming, fucking...
He recognizes that that's the car that, like, sped off at first, and essentially this is the car that's now trailing after Johnny, too.
The wild thing about this to me is just, like, we have so many things that we can get a clear picture of exactly what's happening, and yet no one was caught.
Yeah, police keep insisting that Johnny's a runaway.
No Noreen sense like that he'd be a runaway. Explains that,
and the cop gives her this like dead ass look and is like, "Has your son ever run away before?"
Fucking once they get there, yeah,
you're gonna get so frustrated.
After you know, that takes like fucking 45 an hour for the police to get there. They're questioning her, right, and they're asking her like. When they ask her questions, you know, they would respond saying, like, well, if what you're saying is true.
If what you're saying is true.
Yes. And yeah. She's just like, all right, man, well, okay, whatever, sure. But here's the facts, right? Here's the pictures. Here's all of this. And then they're just like, okay, well, we're going to go. And then
they refuse to take Noreen's pictures of Johnny.
But then they come back at 2 p.m.
with a detective.
Right, that same Sunday. So all of this is Sunday still. Like, long-ass fucking day, so man. So
Noreen in that time, though, like, when the police came for the first time and then when they came back with the second time with the detective at 2 p.m., by that time, she literally calls every single person she knows in her fucking community and is like, we need to gather search communities or committees and, like, you got to help me find my son. She is not going to take... bullshit from the police saying that this is good. Not a kidnap.
Well, and like, this is the wrong way to like approach the situation, right? Like, even if a kid is a runaway, we should be asking questions about
exactly.
Why.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Kids don't run away for no reason.
And,
no.
And this is what Noreen mentions at that time, right? In the 80s, if your child was a runaway and in the data system, right, of the entire states, you know, a cop sees like some information and sees like, oh, maybe I should like document this, right, of this child acting weird or whatever's going on. Mm-hmm. And then they see, oh, that child is a runaway. All right, fuck it. And John Rossi is a neighbor.
He's a neighbor who also sees all this.
He is the one. So that's the guy. When Johnny turns left, he's the guy that sees like all this shit going down. He's just like, oh shit. Right.
Yeah. He provides a sketch of the driver and the license plate to the police.
Yeah. At this point, they're not even trying. Well, they're okay. Like, we threw those away.
Well, not to... Right. So, okay. So, the sketch does come... It does come from John Rossi, but it was because Noreen hired detectives. It wasn't the police.
Right. No, but it was right. He provides a description right. And the license plate of
right.
That man.
Right. So, she had to save the sketch of this person and not be able to right. Show people.
And it's a fucked up sketch. It'll so be one long. Of our pictures up on the website.
It's a great, yeah, it's a, yeah.
It's a really good sketch. So yeah, literally, so Noreen has to take it upon herself
and just keep right and just gather all this information. Like, okay, I'm gonna fucking go get a file cabinet, man, because this is gonna take a minute. When that whole happened on Sunday morning, search parties were gathered by the community. This is like big, right?
On that day.
20 people, you know, they're searching the park, right? Because they're thinking, like, yeah. Oh, it's a runaway, right? There's going to be a child, like...
somewhere. Or worst case scenario, they're going places where fucking they murder would dump a
body.
Can come.
A body. Yeah. and Officer Cooney...
Yeah. Chief Orville Cooney is a bastard. And, yeah.
goes drunk.
Yeah, he's wasted, belligerent to this
on
party.
On duty, on like
on active dirty.
Dirty.
Active dirty.
You should leave that in.
A megaphone and yeah, gets a megaphone. On the bleachers like, or like the table.
I don't give a fuck table. About Johnny Gosh.
Yeah, he's like, you're not going to find him. So
yeah, he's just like, he's a runaway. Nothing but a damn runaway.
You guys, I don't even know why you're here.
Dude.
He tells them, all of you people, go home. Oh, sorry, quote.
Quote.
This kid is nothing but a damn runaway. End quote.
Even if he is, he's a fucking human being, dude.
Right, so these people then are just like, wow, who the fuck?
Run all to right. tell Maureen.
Right, they're just like, hello? Maureen, baby. Like, what do you want, man? We're trying to help you. But then he's like, what is going on, right? So she's just like, I'm going to call the FBI, right? So this is why on the third day, these two agents get called.
So
and they go.
Sorry, quick question. So the police didn't call the FBI in. Noreen no. had
the
to contact them.
The police refused to contact the FBI.
Oh, okay.
Because it wasn't
okay.
a kidnapping. So why would you contact the FBI if it's not a kidnapping?
Right, the FBI is like, ma'am, we don't really do this, right? Like, this isn't
the FBI
really like
asks
our area.
The police department. They go, you need us to come in? And we're told no.
The again, this Cooney man.
Fucking Orville
this
Cooney?
Cooney man.
He says, no.
Orville Redenbacher.
We don't need help.
Sorry, I just had to say it.
We're good, right? He's just like, this kid's a runaway. We're good.
We got
man.
It. I'm drunk, so it's fine.
It's not the first time he refuses help on this case.
No, so this is right. So this is from the get go. Now, the election is going for governors
in Des Moines.
In Des Moines. Okay. And Governor Ray at the time refused or basically told Noreen, right, if they wanted to use a National Guard helicopter, she would have to pay $800 per hour, even though it's free.
In cases of
a
missing child.
Yes.
Luckily, she got people to donate for that, and she was able to use the National Guard helicopter to no avail.
No. So she used it because Omaha, Nebraska, LOL, funny quote. Like
literally.
Funny fact. So I know it's crazy. So, you know, in Omaha, Nebraska, right, there's like this radio station, TV station, talking about this case and just being like, wow, they don't want to let this woman use a helicopter. They don't want to let this woman use a canine. Like nothing, right? They're just like, not helping. So Omaha, Nebraska. So they send her their National Guard helicopter because, or like every state has one.
Okay.
Right,
yeah.
Or whatever the fuck. The
right.
nearest one in Omaha, Nebraska is right there. And there's a district that's just like close to Des Moines. They stop her, right? They stop Noreen.
She gets pulled over by a police officer, a sheriff. And he's like, ma'am, I want you to know. I pulled you over today because I wanted you to know that your police department refused men I sent over to look for your kid.
Men and canine
and
dogs.
Canine dogs.
Wow.
And I wasn't the only department from the area. Counties have sent over multiple search parties for you and are refused.
This is fucking awful.
A Twilight Zone.
So he's from, so that sheriff was, or is, was, from Dallas County, Noreen, they live in Des Moines, so just very close. They're just like trying to send help in every shape, way, and form.
And were turned away. So that's super interesting.
Right.
So even if it was just a fucking runaway.
Yeah.
So this is where she starts to get a notebook, write everything down, ask people, can I quote you? Writes the time, writes the date. Is writing just everything, any conversation she has. Because she also realizes, in a moment of distress, will I remember this?
Yeah.
Probably not. They even had to hire psychics, and psychics were told the parents that their boy had died, and that his body would be found miles from his home in a creek, which was not true. But yeah, they're just hiring private investigators from themselves, and dive deep into this case. Chief Orville Cooney also is quoted on public press saying, I don't give a damn about what Noreen Gosh has to say. He literally hates her. She makes a press conference because she starts realizing, okay, well, if the police are not going to listen to me, I'm literally going to go to every news reporter in this fucking state and let them know what the fuck is happening. And so she does a press conference. Woo! Bashes the police department.
Honestly, good for her.
She refuses to let this be known. That, and it's like, she has all of the evidence. Like, if you want evidence from a private investigator, you have it. And the chief literally goes to her house and yells at her.
Mm-hmm. Very professional. Right. Very, very good police work there.
He's forced to be removed from office, luckily.
Good.
And he died in 03, 11 months after Johnny disappeared. He was taken off.
A lot of people made formal complaints, like from other police officers, that he was doing police work after drinking, fixing friends' tickets and relatives' tickets, and being racially prejudiced. Shocker. Again.
Oh, Nazi. Interesting. Yeah.
And interfering with the police department's investigation on one of his sons. Some time has passed. I think it's about 2 weeks after after Johnny's kidnapping. The Des Moines Registrars is a local newspaper, and there was a caption about two young girls being kidnapped off the streets and taken to Omaha, Nebraska. 2 hours from Des Moines.
Interesting.
Yeah, extremely, especially to Noreen. She was like, this is exactly what happened to my son. And they were put into a prostitution ring. The two men were caught, luckily, of the woman who kidnapped these two girls, and the girls were found and returned home. So Noreen took the article to police chief in her fucking state before he resigned, of course, and asked him to call the folks in Nebraska. Robert Wadman is their police chief, and he said no. So yeah, she again takes this to the FBI. They turn her down, so she takes it to the radio stations about everything. This definitely exposed Omaha, Nebraska in terms of having people speculate what's going on there in 1982. And this is before the Franklin cover-up. This is about 8 years before. Calling attention to the kidnapping of those girls about 8 years later was definitely, there was definitely a pornography and prostitution ring operating in Nebraska. And then shortly after knocking on the door of the Franklin cover-up with those two girls, in northern Iowa, a little boy was found dead in a refrigerator in a barn. And police deemed it a suicide. So that happens. And basically, we're getting into the crimes that follow Johnny's kidnapping. And we're going to stop there because we have a lot to dive into for part two. So just know we're starting to notice a fit and mold of these kids going missing in this area in particular.
I think it's important to bring up in this too, if you're listening to this currently, essentially what we're going to do is stipple these episodes in between each other. Because this is a lot of very heavy stuff to be listening to over and over again. So just know this mini series will not dominate our feed for this entire time. If this is like a lot for you, you'll have other episodes to lean into. If you want to check out some pictures of Johnny Gosch and Noreen Gosch, we'll have those up on our Instagram, Not a Boogeyman.
And that sketch of that weird dude in the double blue car.
There you go.
And if you want to read this episode, we put it up on our blog on our website, so that's just namnab.com. So you get sources and links and stuff like that.
Also, if you want to check out some awesome content that's very unique and special, join our Patreon.
If you want to decide our episodes, come do that on Patreon. You get cool gifts when you sign up too. So come back next week. And then finish out Johnny Gosch with our guest, Naye. Come back.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.